Welcome. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whomever you love, we welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. May you leave your daily burdens at the door, open your minds and hearts, and be fully present for this time of fellowship and spiritual re-energizing. I'm Reverend Christy Anderson, an ordained interfaith minister and Unitarian Universalist Commission lay minister. I'm joined in today's worship with our worship associate Elaine Bowen, our music director Hal Walker, and special musicians, the Celtic Clan of Kent, and the Sacred Song Circle Singers.
Our Board of Trustees moderator, Kathy Slater, has a very special announcement for us this morning.
And also at that meeting, there will be an update on the building. We're starting to get bids back from subcontractors, so we're getting a clearer picture of what will be the true cost of our new fellowship hall. So please come and vote and share in all the exciting things that are happening. And then the big announcement for today has to do with our interim minister. As moderator of the Board of Trustees, it is my pleasure to introduce our new interim minister, the Reverend Anya Johnston, who will be joining us on February 1st. Now, Reverend Johnston is an experienced UU minister, having been ordained in 1999. And she is looking forward to sharing ministry with us as we enter this 18-month interim period. Together, we'll reflect on all of our ministries and plan for our future. And in addition, we have the opportunity to make some UU history. Reverend Johnston, or as we'll probably know her, Reverend Anya, happens to be the only trans UU minister who grew up male. So we all will have a lot to learn and experience, and she'll be coming on the 1st of February officially. I'm sure she'll be here a little ahead of time, and you'll have a chance to meet her. And if you have questions, you can ask our transitions team. And if they're here, please stand up when I call your name. This was our search committee, Danny Beal, Paulette Thurman, Marion Yeagler, Fred Smith, Randy Rohatsky. Well, only Danny. Danny can answer all questions, and more information will be shared. Thank you. Yes.
My goodness, what wonderful news. I do hope you will join us next week for a wonderful multi-generational service that's entitled A Presence of Angels. It will be led by our Director of Religious Education, Lily Rappaport, our Religious Education Coordinator, Colleen Taylor, Sandy Eaglin, Director Extraordinaire, and a cast of many in a dramatic presentation based on Elijah's Angels and featuring the Children's Christmas Choir. So please do come, and we bid you welcome. Our first Sunday of Advent reminded us to be patient. This second Sunday of Advent, we light the flame in hope that darkness will be dispelled. In this holiday season, may the darkness of winter be dispelled in this festival of lights, and may the darkness of ignorance be dispelled in the strength of compassion, reason, and sharing. Reverend David Breeden.
My father was a Christmas fanatic, especially when it came to the Christmas tree. Every single year, we would select a freshly cut balsam fir tree. Balsams maintain a wonderful pine aroma for a long time, but most importantly, they have short needles and space between the branches, allowing for the hanging of many ornaments. Although our living room ceiling was 9 feet high, my father always bought a 12-foot Christmas tree. He would cut off the top 3 feet, creating a rather unorthodox appearance at the top, but providing for a fuller tree to decorate. My father had tree ornaments from his childhood, and my parents collected unusual and ornate Christmas ornaments throughout their 46 years together. Because we had so many ornaments, the tree was loaded with several ornaments per branch. The finishing touch was the hanging of the silver tinsel. My persnickety father hung tinsel one strand at a time, testing the patience of my sister and I as we waited for the grand finale, turning on the assorted colored lights. Although all aspects of this family ritual were fun and memorable, my favorite part was spending time with the Christmas tree when no one else was in the room. I would crawl under the tree and lay on my back, looking up through the maze of branches. The multitude of beautiful ornaments reflecting the colored lights in all directions were like dozens of disco balls. The air from the heat register swayed the tinsel when the furnace kicked on, giving the tree an appearance of aliveness. Even though I was uncomfortable because I was laying on the electric train track circling the base of the tree, I was in a state of bliss. I would even stay up after my parents went to bed so that I could sneak downstairs and lay under the tree. It was important to indulge in this ritual in solitude so my senses could be fully engaged. The glorious smell of the pine, the sight of the dazzling lights, shimmering tinsel, and gorgeous glass ornaments. No present I received as a child stands out in my memory as much as this quiet respite that made me feel alive, warm, and content. What delights your senses this time of year? Today we offer contemplation on the blessings of the season that only come into awareness when we focus our attention on being present. Come, let us worship together.
Are there any people of all ages here?
Oh, good. Well, then this is for you. I woke up this morning singing a song that I wrote with a friend back in 1990. It goes, our silence sings sweet harmony. Our silence sings sweet harmony. Our silence sings sweet harmony. As I sang, the first thing that came to my mind was how frightening silence can be for me, especially in social settings. Silence doesn't sing sweet harmony, but rather signifies social awkwardness and anxiety. To be honest, I'm more familiar with our silent singing. I just can't think of anything to say. And if I did think of something, I'd be afraid to say it. And it probably wouldn't come out right. And what's the point of saying it anyway? In college, I worked as a file clerk at the Noyes Cultural Arts Center in Evanston, Illinois. One day, the executive director, Joseph Zindel, invited me for a drive in his car to run some errands around town. I remember to this day the dreadful silence in that car. The harder I tried to think of something to say, the more afraid I became to say something. What could I possibly say? He's an adult. I feel like a kid. He's the executive director. I'm just a guy with long hair and messy clothes and youthful ideas that he probably wouldn't understand. If I did say something, it wouldn't come out right and it would sound probably stupid. The longer we went without saying anything, the more difficult it was to say something. Our silence was not singing sweet harmony. In my head, the silence was singing anguish, and I can't wait to get out of this car. Well, the first part of the song goes like this. Friends have spoken, we understand. Voices weaving separate strands. Our circle bends, it breaks, then mends. Troubles aside, we part as friends. Our silence sings sweet harmony. The song says, friends have spoken. We have taken the risk to connect. We've shared a little piece of our stories with each other. We've taken an interest in each other and maybe asked a question about each other's lives. Or maybe we took a chance and shared a little piece of our own truth, no matter how imperfectly it came out. We allowed our circle to bend, to break, and then to mend. And now our silence sings sweet harmony. When I wrote the song, I was working at a summer camp called Farm and Wilderness in Plymouth, Vermont. I was a counselor at Tamarack Farm, which was a co-ed camp for high school age students. The camp took place on an organic farm, and a big part of the camp experience was morning work shifts, where the whole camp would work together. Besides this opportunity to do work together, one of the things I loved most about Farm and Wilderness was the culture of silence and singing. Every morning we would gather together for shared silence. All 100 of us would sit in a circle beneath the Vermont pine trees on those Vermont crisp mornings. We would sit in silence, and when the spirit moved, we were free to speak our truth out of the silence. Then every night after dinner, the community would gather together for singing. By the end of the summer, we had created a culture of singing. We knew the same songs, and we didn't hesitate to jump right in and start singing. I was 25. I was so full, it was so full of life, and it was a very special time that helped form me into who I am today. Working all day, singing at night, and shared silence in the morning. Our circle would bend, it would break, and it would mend, and it was often true, our silence sang sweet harmony. And the song goes like this. Friends have spoken, we understand. Voices weaving separate strands. Our circle bends, it breaks, then mends. Troubles aside, we part as friends. Our silence sings sweet harmony. 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 Let's sing that last part. Our silence sings sweet harmony. Our silence sings sweet harmony. Our silence sings sweet harmony. And now we'll send the young people to their classes. We'll sing our song twice, and the children will move on the second time. You've got the light of love inside you. Go on your way in peace. So shine that light. This whole world now awaits me. On your way in peace. You've got the light of
one of the many important ministries we have in our church is the care team. The team includes the pastoral associate listeners, known as PALS, P-A-L-S, and the helping hands. To learn about the services offered by the care team and how you might volunteer, there are brochures on the bulletin board at the stairway landing. There are brochures outside of the store, and you can also go to our website. The current members include Patty Miller, who is our coordinator, interim Dave Clements, and myself. Today, we welcome new pastoral associates, and as I call your name, I'd like you to please come forward. And Dave, you can come up also. Our new associates are Elaine Bowen, Trish McLaughlin, Deborah Lynn Hook, and Susan Poole Wilkie, who will be here second service. Each have made a commitment to help strengthen the ethic of care we hold for all members and friends of our community. So in order to lift up the new members of the care team, I invite the congregation to stand as we read aloud the commissioning words found on the insert in your order of service. All of us have a share in strengthening and deepening our community of faith. The pastoral associates of the care team play an important role in supporting the varied pastoral needs of the congregation. They offer a listening presence to members and friends to help ease the pain of loss, a caring presence to members in the hospital, companionship to a shut-in who is no longer able to attend church services, and coordination of the delivery of meals for those needing temporary help. Pastoral associates also prepare workshops to educate members on topics helpful to enhanced well-being. We welcome you as new pastoral associates.
We give thanks for this opportunity to learn and serve.
We recognize that the minister is unable to respond to all of the pastoral needs of this expanding church community, and we appreciate the help of the care team.
We are committed to helping make this congregation a more caring community. We will serve faithfully and with deep respect for the concerns with which we are entrusted.
We commend you for your commitment to our community, and we deeply appreciate your willingness to serve.
We all need a little help at times. When the time comes for you, don't hesitate to ask. Giving and receiving, that is how we live. Thank you for your willingness to serve. As is the tradition of this church, we now join in a shared silence in order to provide an opportunity for personal prayer, meditation, and reflection. I invite you to enter into a few moments of meaningful silence. Let us open our hearts to the divine, the wondrous spirit of life and love. Many burdens lay heavy upon our hearts. Some among us are experiencing personal challenges. Many of us are experiencing grief following the departure of our beloved minister, Reverend Melissa Carville Zimmer. Many of us are feeling great despair as we contemplate national news and feel anxiety about the uncertainty of future changes. We wish for a world where people are treated with justice and compassion. But right now, we're unsure how to take action toward this goal. At times, these burdens cast a shadow of melancholy over the joy evoked by the season of cheer and goodwill. We are fearful and wounded. Our spirits need to be made whole. O Spirit of love, during this season of charity, whisper sweet reminders, calling on us to take time to be charitable with ourselves. O Spirit of life, walk beside us so that we may be fully present to the blessings that abound this season. With hearts open to life and love, May we each take the time necessary to nurture renewal. A renewal of such proportions that it bestows an inner peace and a reservoir of strength. Thus fortified, we will then be empowered to march courageously on the path of justice. May it be so. Amen.
Christmas is 2 weeks away. 2 weeks. I bet you're thinking about all you need to do, or perhaps all you think you need to do. Paula Siminski wrote this piece in Christmas of 1997, and it is called 'Twas 3 Days Before Christmas. 'Twas 3 days before Christmas, and all through the house, not a person was helping, not even my spouse. The children were restless, and what made it worse, I at my computer typed nonsensical verse. When what to my poor bloodshot eyes did I see but the calendar with 3 days left glaring at me? So off to the kitchen I flew like a flash, tore open the cupboards and made a mad dash. Baking my cookies and stirring my fudge, dozing by the sink till someone gave me a nudge. I still have the presents to wrap and bows to tie, and the house is a disaster, I thought with a sigh. I looked around at the mayhem and thought to myself, next year will be different. I'll organize myself. I laughed when I heard the traditional phrase that I made every year and forgot in just days. So to all those who know me, I have one thing to say. Merry Christmas to all, just don't get in my way.
As the poem says, next year will be different. This is my mantra every December 26th. Year after year, I expect to have a Christmas glow, my heart overflowing with warmth, generosity, love, and gratitude. I know it's a lot to expect for just one day, but Christmas is that one day, unlike any other, where we can and sometimes do feel a multitude of wondrous emotions. emotions that we experience at other times, of course, but on Christmas, our hearts should be bursting with all of these emotions. It's the Christmas spirit. But so often lately, once Christmas is over, I feel like I've missed it. I bought and wrapped the gifts, prepared the special family meal, and the other obligatory responsibilities required in order to be a good Christmas consumer. But something is often missing. My heart feels untouched in some special way that I had expected. Maybe you experienced this also. Even though we each hold our own unique understandings of the spirit of Christmas, I think many of us expect the holidays to arouse some special feeling that's only present this time of year. Some years we may feel it, and other years we don't. Even though it's just one day of the year, Christmas is complicated. Now, I realize that not everyone here celebrates Christmas, but even our non-participation can cause stress over the holidays. For others, Christmas carries baggage, pain, loneliness, or a feeling of just being left out. But whether we like it or not, we are in the thick of Christmas season. And I suggest that we can and should take advantage of the gifts offered this time of year and use them to renew our spirits. It's particularly important that we do this right now. Just like our bodies need rest, our minds and our spirits need rest, especially given the ugly presidential election, concerns about the future, and the departure of Reverend Melissa. We need to be healthy in the coming year because we have a lot of social justice work to undertake. The world is crying out for our help. But right now, during this transitional time, we're not sure how to respond to this calling. So this is a good time to slow down and take care of ourselves so that we have the energy to perform the hard work that's critically needed. These next few weeks can be a time for reflection, renewal, and building strength to do good in the world. I'm giving you permission to find something in this holiday season that will be renewing for your soul. Our theme this month is presence. Presence is being in the moment, which can be manifested through inward reflection and outward attentiveness. The practice of presence can benefit us greatly if we allow it to change us. Religious traditions worldwide lift up presence or mindfulness, often through prayer and meditation. Even science supports the value of quieting our inner chatter in order to reduce stress and improve our mental and physical health. We know it's important, but many of us don't get around to adding mindfulness to our health routine. Today's worship service is going to be different than most. It's going to be quieter, with time devoted to reflection. In particular, reflection on your own personal blessings of the season. We will be offering a meditation on Christmas and one on winter. You may be skeptical and wonder, how can I possibly be present this time of year when I'm bombarded with all of the distractions associated with Christmas? These distractions include not only external mayhem, but also the noise coming from our inner voices. UU minister Kathleen Matigue addresses the dilemma of trying to practice presence in the world of noise. In an essay titled Listening to Our Lives, she relates the story of Brother Bruno, a devout monk living in a monastery. Brother Bruno faithfully prays many times a day in his tiny room. One hot night through the open window, Brother Bruno's praying is disturbed by the loud noises of the creatures, frogs with their raspy croaking, and the nonstop shrill buzzing of the insects. Annoyed by the interruption of his solitude, Brother Bruno shouts out the window, "Stop that noise!" The animals fall silent. He contemplates now the realization that God gave voice to the animals. He's distracted in his effort to pray, thinking, "It's very audacious of me to feel that my need for quiet is superior to their need to sing." So he leans out the window and says, "Sing." Brother Bruno listens intently without judgment and discovers the magnificence of the sounds of nature and the gratitude arising within him becomes his prayer. Brother Bruno found blessings and peace amidst the noise of his surroundings, and we can do the same. One effective way is to quiet the noise, both externally and of our inner chatter, by focusing attention on using our five senses. Engaging our senses serves to still our minds and draws attention to amazing blessings that often go unnoticed. This season is a cornucopia of pleasing sights, sounds, and scents that we can savor. Of course, to savor something, we have to be intentional and present. You're probably familiar with the concept that when we approach life with eyes wide open, let's say to something like beauty, for example, we're more likely to find it. To demonstrate the power of savoring, I invite you to partake in a Christmas meditation of sensory stimuli. Relax now. Close your eyes if you wish. Clear your mind and concentrate on the images I'll create. Bring to your mind holiday strings of lights, like vines with bursts of vibrant colors, merrily dancing in the breeze. Breathe in the earthy scent of pine boughs. Run your hand along the needles that are rough but yielding. Hear the chime of bells, melodic church bells, sleigh bells, chiming in rhythm with a horse's trotting cadence, the spirited tinkling of jingle bells. Inhale the mouth-watering aroma of warm homemade cookies coming out of the oven, sprinkled with colored sugar or coated with red and green icing. Listen to the uplifting sound of familiar Christmas carols, perhaps while in the presence of no one, yet fully present, breathing in the majesty of the music. Delight in the sight of gaily wrapped packages under the Christmas tree, and in feeling the warm tingle of generosity and excitement. Slowly sip the creamy white smoothness of eggnog with its surprising jolt of nutmeg. And finally, look upon the nativity and the star beaming its radiant light on the baby Jesus, arousing feelings of hope. I conclude this Christmas meditation with the reminder that the common yet meaningful gifts of Christmas surround us. They can be found in the sunlight and in the dark, in the company of others, or in solitude. You can make this Christmas memorable and a source of respite by affirmatively choosing something to savor this Christmas. By doing so, you will feed your weary soul. I end this meditation on Christmas with a poem by Mae Sarton.
Christmas light. When everyone had gone, I sat in the library with the small, silent tree, she and I alone. How softly she shone, and for the first time, then for the first time this year, I felt reborn again. I knew love's presence near, love distant, love detached, and strangely without weight, was with me in the night when everyone had gone and the garland of pure light stayed on. Stayed on. A meditation on winter. Not everyone celebrates Christmas, but we all participate in winter. To remind you of the beauty of the silent world of whiteness, let us relax to Photos by Brad Bolton, accompanied by the words of Unitarian Henry David Thoreau, adapted from an essay titled A Winter Walk, which appeared in the Transcendentalist newspaper, The Dial, in 1843. While the earth is slumbering, all the air has been alive with feathery crystals showering their silver upon the windowsill. A fog has arisen, a crystallized haze refined and purified by cold. See how the silvery dust lies on leaf and twig, deposited in such infinite and luxurious forms, atoning for the absence of color. The shrubs are drooping under their burden, and the red berries contrast with the white ground. The polished air sparkles as if there were crystals of ice floating in it. The trees and shrubs rear white arms to the sky on every side. And where were walls and fences, we see fantastic forms. Nature has strewn her fresh designs as models for man's art. The gray squirrel, deer, and rabbit are brisk and playful even in the morning. In this lonely glen, with its creased ice and crystals of all hues, this pure stinging cold is an elixir to the lungs. Where the spruces and hemlocks stand on either side, our lives are more serene and worthy to contemplate. The wonderful purity of nature at this season is most pleasing, with decayed stumps and the dead leaves of autumn concealed by a clean napkin of snow. The sun, at length, rises through the distant woods, melting the air with his beams. Standing quite alone, while the wind is shaking down snow from the trees, we find our reflections in a richer variety than the life of cities. Listening to jingling of the ice on the trees, sweet and liquid, We tread briskly, crunching the dry, crisped snow under our feet. As the sun advances with the day, we hear a faint but sweet music as ice melting. We step hastily along through the powdery snow, warmed by an inward heat in the increased glow of thought and feeling. Under the depths of snow, the river is lost, to appear again where we least expect it, as if it too had hibernated where it earthed itself in snow and ice. The clouds have gathered and snowflakes are descending, shutting out the distant objects from sight. The tracks of men and beasts are lost. The heavens seem to be nearer the earth. The snow levels all things and enfolds them deeper in the bosom of nature.
Unitarian Universalist Richard Gilbert says, "The world is still to be created. May you find peace and inner strength to sustain you as you work on your own self as a work in progress. Go in peace and love."